Turn to John 15, if you would. Stand together with me when you find that, John 15. When you find it, stand. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Here we go, verse number 9. The Bible says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." I mean, we could almost stop right there and meditate on that, go home, couldn't we? I mean, we're not going to do that, but we could. That's a great verse. Let me read it again. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Verse 9 says, "As my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Isn't it a blessing to know that God loves you? Jesus loves me. This I know. Well, how do we know? For the Bible tells me so. He does love us, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. Let's have prayer, and we'll get started. Father, pray your blessings on the message. Help us to trust you by faith, the work you're doing in us. We thank you for being faithful. You are so faithful, God. We don't even have to say so faithful. You are just faithful. Thank you for that. We are unfaithful, God. We fail you. We go away from you. We sin. But God, you're always there. Thank you for who you are. Bless today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I'm thankful God loves us, and I'll tell you that there are some people that make it easy to love them. Amen? Or is there any of you out there? Well, you know, God has a hard time with some people, but he has an easy time loving me, you know. There are some people that are easy to love. I remember just a few days ago, we were in Texas for this pastor's fellowship meeting, and I'm telling you what, there was some of the greatest preaching that you'll ever hear on this side of heaven. I mean, it was so good. The preachers were hitting the nail right on the head with the Word of God, and it was just passionate and exciting and encouraging and inspiring and all the adjectives like that that you can bring up. It was just that good. One of the preachers' name you'll recognize, Brother Dan Preston, who preached our revival before COVID-19 closed down the planet. We had Brother Preston preach our revival and did such a marvelous job because he's a great preacher and he preached. And so there's times whenever I get around guys like that and, you know, I get to feeling a little bit like inferior, you know, this complex. And I know we're not in a competition and I don't often meditate or think like that. But I think, man, these guys are so good. I'm such a bummer, you know, to listen to me preach, you know, and you kind of get that little poochy lip thing. And I don't think like that a lot, and I wasn't meditating on that, but being around such great preaching, you know, I was just thinking that. And I never voiced it. I didn't say it out loud, but Melissa and I were in the room, and she came to me. She said, I was telling her how great the preaching was. She said, you know, it was really good, and it's been so good, but I'll tell you what, with as straight face as she could, as honest, and she convinced me that's how honest she was. She said, I'd so much rather hear you preach. And I said, I love you. You know, some people make it easy to love them. And that was one of those times whenever I just was thrilled to be with my wife. And she often makes me feel loved. And she makes it so easy to love. On the way out of town, you know, I've said this to you multiple times that I pull the kids aside, particularly Caleb, and I'll say, you know, I love you guys, and just in case something happens, you're the man of the house, you know, and I'll have that little talk, and I do that because it could happen, you know, anything could happen like that, and so I pulled him aside, and I was going to tell him that, and he beat me to the punch. He spoke up before I could, and he said, Dad, I love you. And I'll tell you, that was a proud moment for me. and I don't want to embarrass him, but I don't care. He made me really thankful, and it's in times like that that there are people in your life that it just they make it easy for you to love them. Brother Tim sent me a picture of Robbie, and I'm gonna have to. I don't want to embarrass you, Robbie, but I'm going to. So I might even show the whole world that's how good this picture was. But Robbie was riding around in his bike and just was touched of the Lord to pray for his church. So he knelt down inside of the flower bed area where the church sign is and had a little prayer meeting with God right there by our church sign. And I got a picture of that. And it's in times like that that I'm telling you, there's not a whole lot that'll make your pastor more proud of you. And things like that just makes it easy to love you, you know. But I'll be honest with you about this. Some people are not so easy to love. And you can say amen to that, you know. The guy who cuts you off in traffic. The lady at Walmart who has 85 coupons, you know. Last week I drove into the drive-thru at the coffee place. And there was a lot of cars there, but that doesn't bother me because, you know, they are pretty fast usually, and they were slow this time. And so I was getting a little aggravated, but God was helping me, you know. And so I'm sitting there, and it's taking too long, or at least my opinion was it was taking too long. And so I ordered my coffee. And so, you know, I'm going to have a little temper tantrum here with you, okay? So I order my coffee, and whenever I get a coffee, now normally I just black coffee, that's how I like it. But whenever I'm having a special day, which anytime I go to the coffee shop, that's special for me. So I'm going to get half and half in there, and I'm going to have 4 raw sugars. So I'm going all out, man. And it's a large coffee, half and half, 4 sugars. And then I always ask for a straw, just in case you're taking notes. I stir it up really well. I'll get that straw because they don't stir it well. They never do. But anyway, I stir it up, and then it's just like, hallelujah. You know what I mean? Get you going. So I waited too long. I ordered my coffee, and I asked for the straw. I get it in the car, and I drive away, and I stir it up. I take a drink, and they didn't put any sugar in there. I'll tell you, it was hard for me to have loving thoughts towards them at that time. And it was okay because I got to the house and I put sugar in there and it turned out being okay. But I'm just simply saying that there are times when people make it hard to love them. There are times when that happens. Well, Jesus is teaching his disciples here that they needed to love one another. And I think maybe you would agree with me that he's telling them that because they would face times when it would be a little bit hard to be loving like they should. Well, let me show you what Jesus specifically said to his disciples, and really get this, he's saying it to us too. Look at verse 9. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Now look what he said. Continue ye in my love. Now if you don't have a Bible, you should. And I'm getting on to some kids in here. Do you have a Bible? Oh, okay. Follow along then. All right. Hey, I'm doing a little paternal thing here, okay? I was proud of him whenever he said he loved me. I want to make sure he has looked at his Bible, you know. Okay, continue ye in my love. So that's the command to the disciples. But he didn't stop there. Look at verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall, and then he says it again, abide in my love. And so he said, abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look at verse 12. This is my commandment that ye love one another as I've loved you. So three times in these three verses, he said, continue in my love, abide in my love, love one another. And so it's clear what Jesus is telling his disciples, and really you and I, to do, that they need to love one another. It's kind of hard to miss that point. And that's his commandment, that they should love one another. Now this would be a mutual kind of nurturing love, that they would care for each other. But it was sacrificial, okay? It was sacrificial. How do we know that? Well, in verse number 13, look what he says. He says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. So in the context, the greater context here, we know that Jesus is talking about sort of a sacrificial kind of love, okay? They would need to learn to sacrifice for each other. Maybe not like giving their life, but definitely giving of themselves. And there could not be a greater love. Jesus has already spoken of this love back in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So it's a sacrificial giving kind of love. That's what they would need to have. Their love would cause them to want to see the needs of each other and to meet the needs of each other. That would be an important part of this. And so even if that meant that they would become wanting themselves, they would meet the needs of the others. That's the brotherly kind of love that's sacrificial. Have you ever done that? Have you ever reached out and loved somebody and done for them and you sacrificed of yourself to do that? I mean, that's the kind of love we're talking. I mean, you gave to them and now you don't have, but you're okay with it. I mean, you're not like bitter about it. Well, look at them. I gave them that, now I'm mad about it. Well, that's not love, okay? Love is when you sacrifice and you give, so you do without, but they have, and you're actually happy about that. Okay, that's the brotherly, intimate kind of love, or sacrificial kind of love. But it needs to be intimate too. Sometimes we can sacrifice and do for others, and maybe there's not a level of intimacy there, or brotherly kind of love. And let me qualify that, like a family kind of love. Like a family should love each other, you know. Sometimes you say brotherly love, and my brothers are like, well, or my boys are like, well, I don't love my brothers. Gross. You know, it's like when they get in trouble, and I say, well, tell your brother you love them, and that's like the punishment. Whenever they have to say I love you to each other. Well, I mean, what he's saying here is there, or what this love really is, it's kind of a family kind of love where they have this bond, and this bond would stretch them outside of their comfort zone sometimes. So not just like financially where they would sacrifice, but this love would stretch them at times. Because they love each other with an intimate love, then they're going to be stretched. And you need to understand that about loving somebody. If you have this kind of love that Jesus is saying to his disciples that they needed to have, then it's going to stretch you. You're going to be outside of your comfort zone sometimes with this kind of love. Well, what do you mean? Not like a weird kind of being outside of your comfort zone, you know, but a outside of your comfort zone where you're needing to love somebody who's not so lovable. And that's the idea. They were to love one another as God loved them, and that would be unconditional, wouldn't it? He said, continue in my love. He said, abide in my love. So these two words, continue and abide, they both are the same Greek word, which mean to remain. So the term indicates that their love should remain, right? Continue, abide, unconditional, all the time. Even when they're not so easy to love, you need to have that kind of love. And that's what we mean, that we should learn and we must learn to love each other when it's not easy to love. Hey, it's easy to love people who are easy to love, who make it so easy to love. You know, oh, you're my favorite preacher. I love you. You know, it's easy to love whenever they're making it easy. But what about when they're making it hard to love? You know, like when they ate the last Twinkie or something, you know, and you're like, whoa, what happened here? All the Oreos are gone, you know. That's not love, right? So, but on a serious note, there are times when people make it hard to love, or rather, when it's hard to be loving towards some people. Yeah. And it seems that one day the disciples are going to need to say, I love you to people who they are currently saying, I can't love them. And that's true for you and me. I mean, sometimes that happens to us. I mean, it could be that you and I are going to have people come or are currently have people in our lives that we say, I can't love them like I should. Listen, I understand what God is telling me to do, but here's what I'm saying. I can't love them like God is telling me to love them. Well, who would that be? Well, it could be somebody who's used you in the past. Have you ever felt used by someone? Taken advantage of? It's hard to love people who take advantage of you financially. Have you ever figured out that somebody wasn't as sincere as they were making themselves out to be, and it comes to find out that they've been taking advantage of you financially, or maybe taking advantage of your servant heart? Sometimes, you know, as Christians, we have a servant heart, don't we? And or at least we should. And we want to reach out and help people. And we see somebody who's down, and they're down and out, and they're struggling. And because of Christ in us, we have a heart to help, to reach out. And sometimes it's by way of finances. Sometimes it's by way of, you know, physically doing something for them. And we reach out and we serve and we do this and we do that. And it seems as though along the way we're being taken advantage of, or at least it comes across like we are being used in that way. And it hurts. It hurts when that happens. Maybe you've been taken advantage of physically. And I'm sad to say that we live in a day and age where there's a lot of young ladies who look back and they have scars and hurt of being physically abused. But it's not just young ladies, sometimes it's young men too. And so we look back and we have those feelings of hurt, of being taken advantage of financially, of our servant heart and what we do for people, and people have used us in that way, or perhaps physically. And God says, love them? Not so easy, is it? Sometimes people are unkind. Did you know that unkind, mean, can I use the word mean? But mean isn't always a word to describe unkind people. But unkind people make it hard to love them sometimes, don't they? I mean, people who are prideful, people who are so prideful that they won't admit that they're in the wrong. Whenever it's blatant or clear that they're in the wrong, and you can say, no, you're in the wrong here, and they won't admit it, and they sort of puff up in their pride. Kind of hard to love people that are prideful like that. Pushy people who want things done their way. Listen, I want it done my way, you know, and so they have this sort of angry spirit because they want it done their way, you know. Angry people, by the way, are just hard to love sometimes. They have temper. Have you ever been yelled at by someone who has a temper problem? Have you ever been yelled? Have you ever been the brunt of somebody's temper tantrum? They get angry and they sort of blow gaskets and they yell at you. That hurts, doesn't it? And I think probably most of us have had that experience. How about whenever people are just mean to you? They belittle you. They make you beneath them with words. These people are hard to love sometimes. How about this? Have you ever felt unloved? Let me get specific with this. How about wives? Those of you who are wives. Have you ever felt that you, in the home, it's like in your intellect, you know that he loves you, but you don't feel like he loves you. Have you ever felt like that? You don't feel loved? Okay. Did you know that whenever you don't feel loved, it's hard to love? It's hard to be loving when you don't feel loved. And it's true for husbands too. Now, wife, you know, and that's, you know, there's a great book, Love and Respect, and he calls it the crazy cycle. I think he calls it the crazy cycle, where she doesn't feel loved, and so she doesn't love, and he doesn't feel respected. And we can use the word love. It's really maybe a better way to say it is respect, but he doesn't feel respected, so he doesn't love. And so they just get in this vicious cycle that spirals down. The only way out of it is to be 100% loving and respectful and don't expect it back. And then God, it has a way of working itself out, you know. But it's hard to do that. It's hard to do that when you don't feel loved, whether you're a husband or a wife. And it's true for kids too. You know, kids in the family who aren't feeling loved. You know, it breaks my heart to see so many kids growing up, being a youth director and being in the ministry now for more than 20 years, and seeing so many kids leave the home and go off in sin. And I know that some of these kids grew up in loving homes and they just made poor choices and went off in sin. And that can happen to any kid. Any kid can do that. Unfortunately, any kid can do that. But some kids, you know, went off and went this direction, and they were in homes that, you know, let's be honest about it, it wasn't such a loving home. and kids not feeling loved and going off and going away. And so it happens with kids too. They don't feel loved. And I'll tell you, whenever you're not feeling loved, it's hard to love. And that's true for church family too. You know, I went through this pastor and nobody at the church called me. I went through this pastor and nobody reached out. Nobody talked to me. Nobody, you know, listen, I don't want to sound like a complainer here, but I'm just going to be honest with you. At Valley Avenue Baptist Church, I don't feel very loved. Can that happen? Well, yeah, of course it can happen. And we're human beings. Now, I don't want it to happen. I don't anticipate those kind of things. I don't desire those kind of things. But it is true that we can feel unloved. And I'm telling you, whenever you, whether you have been abused or taken advantage of, or whether you've dealt with unkind people, or whether you're feeling unloved, or any host of other reasons why we are confronting with this struggle to be a loving person, it's still true that the disciples were going to need to learn to be loving and to be loving unconditionally, meaning no matter the circumstances. And for them, that's going to be a challenge, and so much a challenge that you and I can relate with it in this way. So much a challenge that it's not even a challenge. It's not possible. You say, Pastor, it's not possible for me to love them. Well, I think probably you're right. And it would be true for the disciples that to love unconditionally in all circumstances, that would not be possible for them either. Can I give you a thought here? You're going to be offended in some way someday that you're going to find it impossible to be loving. That's going to happen. So how can he command it? How can he expect it? I mean, he said three commands here continually. Continue in my love. Abide, which means the same thing. To continue in my love, to love one another. He's making a command here. How can he have this expectation if we're going to face it at times, a situation that's impossible for us to be loving? Here's the answer. It's not your love. It's his love. Look at verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in, say it, my love. You know what's interesting? Verse 10 says that too. Abide in my love. The last part of verse 10, abide in, as Jesus abides in his love. Listen, this is unconditional love that is commanded to the disciples, but it wasn't their love. It was his love. He would give them his love. Melissa and I were in Texas for this fellowship meeting, and we went out to eat with some pastors, and so we had just a marvelous time of fellowship there. And while we're standing in line, the pastor pushed us in front of him and told us to order and made it clear that we weren't going to be paying for it. And of course, you know, I argued with him about it because we don't have those expectations. We never do. But, you know, he was insistent about it, and so I didn't want to hurt his feelings, so I ordered like 12, you know, items off of the menu, but anyway, no, I didn't do that, but I went along with his, you know, little thing, and we ordered the food, and here's the thing about it, there was a lot of people. I mean, there was like 15 or 20 people that ordered food, and so the bill was pretty high, and I thought, goodness gracious, you know, if I had to pay for this, I'm not sure that I could afford this, you know? I mean, it was a lot of people and a lot of food and a lot of expense there. But do you know why I was able to afford that bill? Because it wasn't my credit card. It was his. And so we were able to, you know, pay for that bill because we used his money to do it. And that's what Jesus is saying. You don't have enough love to love some people. You're having a hard time with it. You're struggling. You're making these comments in your heart. And truthfully, I can't. It's impossible. I can't love them. Well, that's okay because it's not your love. The disciples would surely run out of love. They would run short at some point with the love that God is asking them to have, but he commanded them to love one another, and they would need to make a decision to live in obedience to that command. Love one another, and if they surrendered in obedience to say in their heart, God, I can't love them. I can't love with the love that you're commanding me to love with, but I will surrender to love them because you commanded me to. And I surrender now to love them. Do you know what happens when you surrender to love with His love? He'll give you the love that you need to do it. He will give you the love that you need so that you can love with His love. And so we make that decision to love people. That should be our prayer. That should be our commitment. That should be the decision that we make. If you haven't done that, you should do that at the altar this morning. You should say, Pastor, I need to get on my knees, whether you're at home or you're here and you need to get on your knees. You need to say, God, I need to love them. I don't love them like I should. And I'm being frank with you, God, I don't think I can love them. I don't think it's possible for me to love them. They hurt me. They took advantage of me. They hurt me. I'm having a hard time loving. God, it's really hard to love people who are unkind and act like this. And I'm having a hard time with it. I need your love. I surrender to love with your love. God, I'm feeling unloved right now. I'm not feeling loved myself, and I'm going to be honest with you. It's hard, but it's not only hard, God. I feel that it's impossible for me to love when I feel so unloved. But I surrender to love with your love. You do that this morning, He'll give you the love that you need. He'll fill you with His love. Don't you want that kind of love? Don't you want to be able to say in those times that even when you're dealing with the unlovely, with the unlovable, that you have unconditional love? The disciples would need that. They may have thought, as a matter of fact, oh, good, Jesus, I am so glad that you talked about love because I'm actually very loving. I actually don't struggle with this. I love everybody. You know, and maybe they thought that they had this kind of love. Maybe they say this. I love you. Maybe they say that. Maybe you say that. Maybe you say, I love you to people. I love you, Pastor. I love you, so-and-so. I love you, so-and-so. Did you know that you can say I love you to somebody, but it's not really genuine? Have you ever said, I love you to somebody, but then if you were to be honest, then you would admit that it's not all that genuine? Yeah. So how would they know? How would the disciples know if they were filled with God's love? I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we had an indicator? Wouldn't it be nice if you and I had, or the disciples had, an indicator to know that they're loving with His love? You say, Pastor, I surrendered. I ask God for His love, and so I want to love these people. And I want to be faithful to love and love and be the loving person God wants me to be. I want that. And I want to say, when I say to people, I love you and I want to mean it, I want to be genuine. Is there an indicator? Can we know? And there is. Jesus gave it to him in verse 11. Would you look at it with me? Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my, what's that say? Joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. So, Jesus commanded His disciples to obey Him in loving each other, but then He said, if you do that, then guess what will flood your life? Joy. You know, that God desires you to live a joyful life. He wants that for you. He wants you to have a life that's full of joy. Pastor, I'm full of joy. That's what God wants you to have. And so their love, watch this, this is so good. Their love for each other would determine their level of joy. That's what He's saying. I gave this to you so that you would be full of joy. And so the more that you love people with my love, the more joy you're going to have. Wow, is that really how it works, Pastor? That is exactly how it works. Do you know who the most joyful people in this world are? Loving people. You can't escape it. You're not joyful. You know what the problem is? You're not loving. Maybe you think you love, but how do you know? Well, is your life full of joy? You say, well, I love God and I love people. I just don't like people, you know. Well, it doesn't really work like that. Because you can't be filled with God's love, not your love. We run out of love, don't we? As a matter of fact, I'm not sure we really have any genuine love. We're pretty selfish. We learned that in Romans. Can't wait to get back to that next week. We don't generally have true good motives. So God's any love that's real in our life comes from Him anyway. Yeah. But the indicator of love, if you're loving, is your level of joy. Are you full of joy? You say, well, Pastor, I love my wife. Are you full of joy in your marriage? I love my husband. I just don't like him. He left his socks on the floor. Again. Well, are you full of joy? You know, when you're full of God's love for the people in your life, then God will fill you with His joy. It's amazing how that works. I mean, it's not complicated, but that you can't escape that truth. It's like a principle. You love with God's love, God fills you with joy. You love with God's love, God fills you with joy. You decide to not love with God's love, and you sort of like run out of love, and you don't like people anymore, you don't have joy. It's not that complicated. That's how it works. There is no joy if you have a love problem. God's love flows through you. It will always produce joy. Always. Always produce joy. Always. Melissa and I had such a good time in Texas. There was a board meeting, and so I was, you know, privileged to be a part of that, and being a director at Heartland at the college, and dealing with the institute there and some of the issues and stuff. And it was a great meeting. It was a great report. The preaching was fantastic. The fellowship was great. Making connections with pastors down there, it just, I can't tell you how inspiring and encouraging it was. It truly was. But you know, my time away with my wife was so great because it reminds me of how much I love her. You know, the more you love somebody, the more joy they produce in your life. Isn't that true? God wants us to love each other. God wants us to love the unlovely. And we need that. Our church needs that. I think that the timing of this couldn't be better because of what we're going through as a church and being separated even for 1 week, missing Wednesday and now live streaming on Sunday and not being together. So when we come back together on next Wednesday and we come back together next Sunday, we need to love each other. Even the ones who aren't so lovely. We need to have that kind of love. And I want you to understand that when you're filled with love, God will flood you with His joy. You should probably write this down. Loving people are joyful people. Don't forget that. Because sometimes there's going to come a day you're going to run out of love. And you're going to have an excuse. Well, they hurt me. Well, they took advantage of me. They, you know, they're mean. They're unkind. Or, you know what? They don't love me. I'm not feeling very loved right now. And there's a host of other reasons we can give. But that's not the reason you don't have joy. You can point your finger, but you don't have joy because you have a love problem. Loving people are joyful people. Always. That's a promise. He will fill you with His love, or rather with His joy. when he fills you with his love. So what do we do, Pastor? What do I do? Surrender. There are people that aren't easy to love. I'll admit it, okay? So what do we do? Surrender. God, I can't love, but I know that I can with you. Would you give me your love so that I can love? And then it's real. It's like genuine. It's real love. It's not just like, I love you, but just words. It's for real love. And you'll start loving, and God will dump the mother load of joy into your heart. And you'll feel like you're going to have a heart attack because you're so happy. Is that real? Yeah, I mean, it is. That's how I feel when I'm with my wife. It's not just a feeling. It's joy. God will give you joy when you decide to love with his love. One more time. Don't forget this. Please don't forget this. One more time. Loving people are joyful people. Don't forget that. Father, we pray your blessings on the day, the message. Help us to repent, turn our heart to you. God, it might be that we just need to turn our heart back to you and love with your love. Help us with that, please. Dump your joy on the brokenhearted. Give it to your servant's faithful decision to surrender to you. We'll give you glory even now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.